أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to another of our programs, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون. وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا، قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين.
We had arrived at verse 134 of Surah Baqarah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the context of the story of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail and Prophet Ishaq and Prophet Ya'qub, or in other words, Prophet Ibrahim and his children and some of his grandchildren that are mentioned in the verses. In that context, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed his story and what his true religion was, which was the religion of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was his way of life, submitting to Allah and whatever his creed is. At the end of these verses that talk about that story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very important point that he repeats again because of the importance of it in the next set of verses that are related to this topic as well. And that is verse 134, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That was a nation that has passed. For it, there will be what it has earned, and for you, there will be what you have earned, and you will not be questioned about what they used to do. What is the verse trying to tell us, and what is the importance of this? What the verse is trying to tell us is that sometimes we get into controversies and arguments and discussions that are completely useless. There are points that whichever way we decide and the conclusions that we come to, it's not bad to know that, I want to say that, but the outcome is not going to have a practical result for us to change the way we live and to really make a difference in where we're going to be headed in the direction in our life. We do that a lot. In this context, what the verses are talking about is this. As we said, the Christians and Jews, they had debates. This is not the only time that we'll be talking about this in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran has discussed it at different times. The issue would come up and would be discussed. And a number of times we see this verse is mentioned at the end. That a topic is discussed, and because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains some points of history about what happened to give them the reality of what the issue was. But at the end it says, you should be worried about yourself. Okay. This story was about discussing what Prophet Ibrahim believed in. The Christians were saying that he was Christian. The Jews were saying he was Jewish. And this was a debate that was going on. The verse says, well, whether they were Christian or Jew or whatever they were, that will not, if they did good, it's going to be benefiting them. If they did wrong, it's going to be harming them. It will not harm you if they did wrong, and it will not benefit you if they did good. You should be worried about your own conduct. Even if, let's say, Prophet Ibrahim was Jewish, that he wasn't, okay, according to the verses, or he was Christian, does that mean that you have to be Christian or Jewish yourself? You've got to look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you right now. What do you need to follow? What do you need to listen to? You have to worry about what your responsibilities are, what your actions need to be. what you need to believe in. Some of the topics that we discuss, and as I said, this is a very important verse that we have here. The topics that sometimes we engage in and we make a big fuss on, and we start having debates and get really sour with one another because this person doesn't agree with that, or the other person doesn't agree with me, and this, and you know, they are really issues that we should not be discussing and getting and engaging in debates, especially the heated debates. Okay. Talking about the historical points, there's loads of examples. On Ashura, did they take the scarves of the women off completely, or did they have some hijab on, and the overall veils were removed, but the veil that was covering their hair was still there, and all of their body was covered. They just didn't have that overpiece that they usually would wear. Which one is it? Well, okay, whichever it is, you can't, first of all, you can't find a clear narration on that. There's different narrations. Not all of them are reliable. You can't really find a really, really reliable source on that issue. But it doesn't make really a difference. Okay, we know the family of the Prophet was oppressed very severely in Karbala. Even if they didn't remove the veils completely, okay, there was a lot of oppression. You don't need to prove that the veils were completely removed to come to the conclusion the family of the Prophet was actually oppressed there. Okay. Another topic that is raised here and there, okay, they say Amir al-Mu'mineen was the first of the Muslims. Oh, does that mean that Amir al-Mu'mineen before then was not Muslim? Playing with words and discussing, no, Amir al-Mu'mineen never was a mushrik. He never believed in more than one God. But before the religion of Islam, there was no religion called Islam. There was no religion revealed to the Prophet that he would have to follow. He had to follow the teachings of Prophet Ibrahim that were left with the Arabs and what they had. The prayer, the way Muslims pray, was not mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yet. The fast of the Muslims was not mandated at that time. The Hajj of the Muslims was not mandated at that time. The Hajj came all the way at the end. After 23 years almost of the Prophet's life as a prophet, the Islamic Hajj was actually revealed to the Holy Prophet of what the differences are in this Hajj compared to the previous Hajj that was done by Prophet Ibrahim. So these points are discussed. These are not issues that we should be wasting our time on. I'm not saying that we shouldn't discuss these in scholarly circles. These are points, you know, these are discussions in scholarly circles that we can talk about, look at the evidence, and very calmly come to a conclusion. But it's not something that we should be wasting our time. And every scholar that comes to our center, we need to ask him 5 or 6 questions, and these are all included. Some points that really don't make a difference. Okay, whichever it is that going to get me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that going to increase my submission? Is that going to make a difference in my hereafter, or is it not? These topics that we choose to discuss and debate on, or some of these chat rooms and these forums that we have online, the discussions that we find on these forums, most of them are really, really useless discussions that don't have any practical implication, are not a belief point or a point in our faith that if we don't believe in, we're going to be taken to hellfire or anything like that, or if we believe in it, we're going to be taken to paradise just because of that belief. These discussions are not like that, and they're not done by scholarly people, and the worst thing about it is that we engage in heated debates and we start hating one another because of the conclusion of these. The verse says, look, don't worry about that. Those people, they have passed away. What they did is going to be benefiting them, and what if they did anything that was wrong, it's going to be harming them. Now, this is not my words. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Ismail, Prophet Yaqub, Prophet Ishaq. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting it. It's not me saying it. Don't say that this is, and don't think that this is disrespectful. This is a fact, okay? Once maybe we're talking about, or sometimes we may be talking about a certain conduct of the Prophet to learn from that, and we need to know, is that really the conduct of the Prophet? Is one of the sunnahs of the Prophet to carry a cane, for example? Or is it not the sunnah of the Prophet? Is that something we need to do or not? Okay. Some of the other issues, the practical issues that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. These discussions to come to the conclusion whether the Prophet did them or not, and of course these are very scholarly discussions. You have to go through the sources, come to the right conclusion based on valid information. But that's something that can actually be talked about, and it's useful to discuss that to see if we need to do that or not. But something that's completely useless, okay, like for example, some of the other discussions that we hear in our Shia circles, okay, some people like to talk about, okay, was the level of this Imamzada higher or the other Imamzada? Okay, they're all great people, inshallah, except for the ones that did not practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and they didn't listen to the Imam of their times. The ones that were good people, they were good people, and some of them were higher than the others. Now let's talk about if Hadrat Fatima Ma'suma was higher or Hadrat Abbas was. Well, who cares what that difference is? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. Okay, and the words that I'm saying, that who cares, these are the exact words of the Holy Quran. These are not my words. This is not disrespectful. This is not by any means disrespecting Hadrat Abbas or Hadrat Ma'sum. It's disrespecting this type of discussion. It is not none of our business to talk about the levels of spirituality of this Imam or the other Imam, or this Imamzada or the other Imamzada. This is another of the discussions. Okay, is Imam Hussein someone that we should spend our time crying about more, or Hadrat Ali salamullahi alayhi, or some of the other Imams? These are not really discussions that are fruitful or are going to get you any closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or take you any further away. All of the Ahlul Bayt are Nurun Wahid. They are the same light. We should love all of them. We have got to follow every single thing that is said by them. Each and every one of them. It doesn't make a difference which one it came to. The children of the Imams deserve respect. Some of them are special children. We have got to give them special respect. But talking about the levels of these Imams, or some similar topics that are really not useful, the criterion that the verse is giving is, look, worry about your conduct. Are what I'm believing in, are those points valid or are they not? Are my practices valid or are they not? At this time, am I doing the right thing or am I not? Is my Imam satisfied with me? These are the discussions that we need to talk about and spend our time. And there's a lot of discussions regarding that have not been resolved, that we need to sit down and talk and come to a proper understanding regarding that. People are talking about what the horse of Imam Hussein was doing on the day of Ashura, and they don't know how to pray, they don't know how to fast, they don't know how to pay their zakat or khums. They don't even know what khums is, for example. Okay, this is not right. You shouldn't spend your Muharram time, your Ramadan time, your other days of the year, when a scholar comes in, on questions and issues like this. Or another very, very hot topic, can a Sayyid marry a non-Sayyid? Or, well, can a Sayyid marry a non-Sayyid does deal with the practical aspect. But the issue that did any of the Imams marry their daughters to a non-Sayyid? And what do you mean by non-Sayyid? And then go through all these books and research the issue and come to the conclusion, okay, whether they did or they didn't. Have they told us that you need to stay away from that, or have they not? If they haven't told us and they have said that you need to give your daughter to any mu'min, whether you're Sayyid or non-Sayyid, it doesn't make a difference. If that's the case, then we need to listen to that and not make up these rules between ourselves to limit ourselves and make life difficult for our children and cause them to commit sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us in this path and to show us the points that are more relevant and more practical and more important to us, and to keep us away from debates that are not only useless but are harmful to our spirit, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك.